You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Like that guy just said, yep, the show, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. That's not just a mantra, man. That's how we try to live our lives. Hey, I got somebody held on the phone through the breaks. Let me grab it real quick. Alan from Hartsell. Hey, Alan, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
Phil?
Yeah, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. This is not the first president that has purchased ammo. In 2011, a group called Judicial Watch wrote an article that there might be some upheaval in the 2012 election. So the federal government bought something like 2 million rounds just in case. I thought, wait a minute, 2012. Wasn't that Mr. Obama that was? Yeah, I think that was Mr. Obama's election, wasn't it?
I believe so. I have no doubt. Yeah. Go figure.
Have a great day.
You too, Alan. Take care, man. Yeah, I understand. Law enforcement, law enforcement, whether you're federal or state, you gotta have ammo. I mean, the men and women who are in law enforcement, I have no problem with them being badged and carrying their weapons. Various calibers, doesn't matter. Do their jobs. You start wondering, though, when you see what you would consider to be a largely unarmed agency like the IRS or the Railroad Commission, which has an enforcement arm. They both have enforcement arms. But you look at it and go, you're stockpiling $750,000 worth of ammo? What? I mean, how often do you guys have to make raids? Don't you use the FBI and local law enforcement to assist you when serving warrants? Or you just go kicking doors on your own? Bunch of IRS agents. The revenuers are coming. Hey, Copper, what's the deal? You had a question from somebody else who didn't want to go on the air, but they had a question?
That's right. Robbie asked if stores and other places that have no gun signs up front are constitutional and if we could still conceal carry inside them.
So it depends on where you are, Robbie. If you're talking about Alabama, realize every state has its own state laws. So when I was in the legislature in 2013, we passed a law. It was called, I think it was Alabama Act 2013-283, but we dealt with some of this. And so to answer the question for Robbie's benefit and all the rest of you, in Alabama, and I'm speaking just largely from memory, but in Alabama, no, you cannot prohibit a concealed carry in most retail stores. He's asking about stores, so I'm sticking with retail. In fact, I saw the question on the board, so I went real quickly to the Alabama Retail Association, and sure enough, I found where they had enlightened their members back in 2013. Here's the deal. If you are a retail operation, or for that matter, any other business who regularly has full-time security, metal detectors, and because of what it is you do, whether you be a bank or something else, you have the kind of security that literally requires there be no firearms, you are allowed to prevent folks from carrying in the facility. If you are not regularly in that practice and you are a retail center that allows general access to the public, then you cannot prevent somebody with a concealed carry permit from coming in. You can't post a sign that says no weapons because it doesn't work that way. Now, if there are other aspects of the business that need to be considered, like the fact that only employees are in there, is not a retail center open to the general public, there can be some restrictions about the use of or carry of firearms within. But even still, you cannot prevent the employee from having one locked in their car in the parking lot because they have a right to travel to and from home and feel like they have the ability to protect themselves. So there's what I recall. I would say this, if you see the sign on the door, you're welcome to ask somebody. And ask them, do you know why you have that sign? Are you sure you're in compliance with state law on that? And see what they say. Do it respectfully. I mean, it's not a confrontation thing. I hate it when people, and by the way, there's no wisdom. There's zero wisdom in saying, well, it's an open carry state. So I'm going down there to Walmart and I'm slinging my AR-15 over my shoulder with the magazine in. There is no wisdom in that. All you're going to do is create a scene. All you're going to do is create panic. And truthfully, you don't need it. If you are good at concealed carry and confident and competent with the firearm that you conceal carry, then that's all you need. Toting your AR-15 to Walmart is never wise. Phones are ringing, so let me jump on it real quick. Copper, I'll take line four. I saw he was first. So, yeah, let me grab line four. Chris from Decatur. Hey, Chris. Phil Williams, how you doing today?
Hey, you're talking about, yeah, good to talk to you again. You're talking about the government saying it's going to restrict ammo. Well, they've already worked on that angle for the reloaders. You used to be able to buy once-fired brass from the military facilities by the bin. You can't even find it now.
Oh, no kidding. I did not know that. Is that a regulatory policy, or does it kind of happen over time? What's the deal?
Last I heard, it was going to scrap. But
wow.
I don't know. You know, there's .gov, some of these auction sites where they sell surplus stuff. It would be there at various military facilities across the country. And, I mean, they'd have bins of it, but not there anymore.
Going to scrap. Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many police calls I've done on a military range where they'd yell, if it doesn't grow, it's got to go, and you're picking up all the brass and, you know, no brass, no ammo, drill sergeant, and turn it all in, and then now you can't get to it anymore, huh? That's crazy.
Yep.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate the heads up. Line one, Brian from Huntsville. Brian, how you doing today, bud?
Doing well, and I hope everybody else is.
We are, thank you.
As far as concealed carry in Huntsville or in Alabama overall, in several other states, I do believe if somebody puts something up that says you cannot bring a firearm in, you can still bring it in, but they have the right to refuse the service.
Well, yeah, that's true. They can refuse service to anybody they want to. I mean, now they can expect the repercussions if they do, and they can also expect repercussions if there's any indication that they're treating you with some form of disparate treatment that they wouldn't treat somebody else. But yeah, you're right. They have the right to refuse service.
You have a great day, sir. Thank you.
All right, man, you too. But yeah, you know, and truthfully, I have not seen this issue. And I question sometimes where people, I demand to be able to carry. I'm going to carry my fire. Listen, I'm a gun guy. You know what? But wisdom is, like I said a minute ago, is there any wisdom at all in these guys that feel powerful by toting their AR-15 to Walmart? There's no wisdom. All you're doing is creating insecurities among everybody who stands around you. But it's your right, but just because it's your right doesn't mean you do. But, we did get rid of, finally, you know, one of the things that I was, you know, really pleased with the state legislature this past session was they finally got rid of the permitting requirements for concealed carry. And we are not only an open carry state, but we're a permitless carry state. So we are, by the way, we are a gun-friendly state. But you're going to find pockets of people elsewhere who it still concerns them, makes them nervous. And in today's day, I get it. No one can tell you can't have a firearm. They can try, but they can't tell you. But nonetheless, it's still exercise wisdom. Going back to number one of the Triple Dipper as I wind things up on this section of today's show. Gunmaker Remington moves to Georgia in a $100 million, 856-job deal. You know, we had Remington here, dadgummit. I was pretty stoked, too, to have Remington, the oldest firearms manufacturer in the history of the United States. They literally started making flintlock rifles in 1816. That's how old they are. But they went into bankruptcy right not long after they built the plant near Huntsville. Crying shame. Now that plant has been sold, I believe. I'm not positive, but I think I read that that plant has now been sold and is being, you know, repurposed. But this story off of ABC News dated November of last year, November 8th, literally says though that Gunmaker Remington Firearms is moving its headquarters from Ilion, New York. New York again. Go figure. That's Kimber from New York. That's Remington from New York. To Georgia with plans to open a factory and a research operation. The company announced Monday, this is back in November, it would invest $100 million in the operation in LaGrange, Georgia, southwest of Atlanta, hiring 856 people over 5 years. It was not immediately clear what the effect the transfer would have on Remington's operations in New York and Tennessee. The company owns parts of the former Remington Outdoor Company, which makes rifle shotguns and some handguns, after the former parent had auctioned off its assets in pieces last year during a bankruptcy proceeding in Alabama. Yeah, heck of a thing. But speaking of New York, who else is trying to leave New York? The National Rifle Association is sick of dealing with New York. Sick of it. We're going to go to a break right now. I'm going to come back. I'm going to tell you not only about the NRA, the largest advocacy organization for the Second Amendment, but I'm going to tell you about another thing called the CMP. How many of y'all have ever heard of the CMP? The Civilian Marksmanship Program. Well, did you know that you have the most sophisticated and spectacular gun range in the United States, one of the best in the world, right here in Alabama because of the CMP? I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Still in number one of the Triple Dipper. I mean, this has got so many phone calls there for a while that we just kept on going. So, yeah, number one of the Triple Dipper, Guns of the South. Guns of the South. The fact that the South has become the place where gun manufacturers, ammo manufacturers, and distributors are moving to. To include, by the way, the National Rifle Association, the nation's largest and oldest defender of the Second Amendment. Now, they've gone through their I mean, why are they moving? Where are they moving from? Pray tell, where would you think they're moving from? New York! So the NRA has been headquartered in New York for, I mean, since its inception, I believe, which is, you know, decades old. But the state of New York is determined. They can't stop the NRA from advocating using its First Amendment rights to advocate for our Second Amendment rights. So what do? They go after it and try to tear down the business of the NRA. New York Attorney General Letitia James and the NRA's former ad agency Ackerman McQueen are all, you know, Let me rephrase that. Arguments by New York Attorney General Letitia James are that the NRA recently filed bankruptcy in bad faith. Okay, sorry, I got my lines of my highlights of my story here mixed up. What's going on? Well, the Attorney General for the state of New York has actually sued trying to dissolve the NRA. Literally, dissolve it. Now, the story I've got here is from May of 2021. This has been going on for a few years. The NRA has finally said, enough. You know what? We pay occupational taxes. We pay payroll taxes. We pay whatever else we have to do. We've been good citizens of the state of New York. We're defending a constitutional right. Forget y'all. We're going to Texas. And so they did. They've attempted to move the office, or excuse me, the headquarters of the NRA to Texas. However, in doing so, they also filed for bankruptcy because they were being driven into the ground by litigation in New York. Well, in bankruptcy, it's not a given. You have to actually petition for the right to go into bankruptcy. And in doing so, your case gets reviewed, and the judge can choose to reject that petition. Well, in May of last year, a Dallas judge threw out the National Rifle Association's bankruptcy petition. Called them into question about their plans to reincorporate in Texas, saying that they were abusing the bankruptcy system. Here's what's going on, I guarantee you. When you file bankruptcy, it immediately puts what's called a stay on all other litigation. And I guarantee you what they were doing was, or being accused of doing, was filing a petition of bankruptcy in order to stay the ongoing litigation with the state of New York. Well, nonetheless, it's still going on, but where are they moving from? New York. Okay, here's the last thing I was going to tell you about. I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but one of the coolest things out there is called the CMP, the Civilian Marksmanship Program. The CMP is something that was actually formed back in 1903, believe it or not. Back in 1903, when the government believed that firearms were not only a right, but that you should have safe and easy access to firearms. Go figure. The original purpose was literally to provide civilians with an opportunity to, you know, learn and practice marksmanship skills. And, oh, by the way, they would not only make this happen, t- taxpayer dollars could help with it. Go figure. It really morphed a little bit after World War II. Because World War II, the M1 Garand was the workhorse of the military and wound up being something all over the world that was literally being supplied everywhere. The M1 Garand was a workhorse rifle. And there were so many of these M1 Garands still cased up after the end of the war that they're like, what do we do with all these? They're finding them in warehouses in Czechoslovakia and, you know, and God knows where. They're all over the place. Well, they began to consolidate them and go, what are we going to do with all these? We'll sell them to civilians. If they'll be willing to go through a safety course, then we'll sell them an M1 Garand that was made for the military, but we can sell them to civilians. So they did. And they sold them, and they sold them, and they'd find more and sell them, and they'd find more and sell them, warehouses full of M1 Garands, then sold to the civilians. And you don't just get to walk in off the street and, you know, you have to go through all kinds of hoops, and it's okay. It's not overly restrictive. There are only two places in the nation where the CMP operates. One is at Camp Perry near Port Clinton, Ohio, and the other one's in Anniston, Alabama. So in Anniston, Alabama, the CMP has been set up since time immemorial, selling M1 Garands, and they sold so many. And in 1996, they were restructured. Liberals in government began to get concerned about government selling guns to civilians, and so they restructured them as basically a 501c3, I believe, a nonprofit organization that could still continue to function the same way, but it had a different charter, a different capability. But they accrued so much revenue from the sale of M1s. And, oh, by the way, now they have the contract for government surplus M1911 45 caliber pistols, since we don't use those in the military anymore. That they built the CMP Park near Talladega. It's right down there by Talladega Speedway. It is the most state-of-the-art, amazing facility. If you like known distance ranges, if you like, you know, pistol ranges, if you like sporting clays, if you like, you know, any kind of plinking ranges, the CMP Park is what I would call a country club. And it is a beautiful facility open to the public, and it is available for anyone to come in, take a short, you know, 30-minute video safety course, fill out a form, and then go to one of the best ranges in the world, with competitions being held there every weekend, right here in Alabama. Guns of the South. There you go. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll move from there to number two on the Triple Dipper when I get back. Pump pain. What are they doing about gas prices? We'll talk about it. Stand by.